This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frieda Lewis. Race Game is also motivational on Monday. One certainty in life is that the future holds unpredictable changes. We start every day not knowing exactly what to expect, and life brings lessons and opportunities that we don't always welcome. It forces us to take risks, become vulnerable, and open ourselves to the unknown. Everyone is tested by life, but only a few extract strength and wisdom from their most trying experiences, and they're the ones called leaders. I'm here with Sheila Chandra from Leadernomics. We're discussing turning adverse situations into an advantage. You know, Sheila, why have you picked this wonderful topic to talk about today?
Well, hi, Frieda. Think about today's environment. There is a lot of issues out there being discussed every day. If you look at US, you can hear about Donald Trump and everything that's going on. If you think about Asia, there's a lot of challenges right now that we're facing. A lot of companies in Malaysia are talking about the future of the economy here. There's big talk about companies that are closing down businesses here because they're afraid of future issues. Mm. So this is adverse times. These are challenging times. And so leadership at this point has to take into account some of the strengths and adversities that may be challenging to them, but overcome them.
Right. You know, you've got some tips as well on what we can do when we are faced, you know, with adverse situations. And one of which is not become emotional.
Right. Yeah. If you think about key leadership traits, if a leader is highly emotional, what's going to happen to his decision-making process? Now, good leaders understand the importance that not letting emotions affect the way you act. One of the key things, of course, is, and we do this all the time, is we talk about proactive behavior. Proactive behavior translates into proactive language. If a leader is always naysayer and is always using negative language about how things are going bad, then in the mind of the employees, in the mind of the people around them, things are going bad. It's going downhill. So attitude is very important. The way they are perceived is key. And if they are highly emotional and volatile, then everybody around them is going to be on edge because the assumption is, it's going bad. It's going north.
So when you say not become emotional, is that we have emotions and we take these emotions into consideration because we are humans, but at the same time, not become negatively emotional about things, to still try to compartmentalize things in a way.
Correct. And also to remember that it's not personal. When they talk about emotional stuff, it's not personal. It's going to be more about the situation and how to look at the situation from a very, very stringent point of view, right? You don't want to take everything and say, oh my God, what's happening to our company? We're going to look at it and say, okay, guys, we have a challenge. We're facing a challenge right now. Let's discuss what we're going to do rather than take the opposite route.
And we know examples, you know, people like Nelson Mandela, you know, likes of Viktor Frankl, you know. So what are some stories there?
Well, if you think about Nelson Mandela, one of his key leadership traits or statements that he made is like, it's better to lead from behind and put others in front. Where there is a challenge and adversity, that's where leadership steps up. Now, this is a statement that he made. And in truth, what he's trying to say is, everybody around you has leadership traits. If you keep holding the hand of the person, you're never going to let them step out and take on responsibility. So the idea today is for you to empower your people, empower your employees to take on leadership roles. I do a lot of corporate training, and a lot of times people say, well, it's great, but I have a leader who's autocratic. I don't have empowerment. How do I go out and do things and make changes in my organization if I'm continuously being controlled? So the idea here is leaders need to learn how to let go and give more power to the employees rather than look over their shoulders. So I believe it's a changing environment now. There are more and more leaders in Malaysia who are doing that, but there are still a lot more traditional leaders who have a tendency to want to put their finger on the pulse all the time. Right. Now, it's good to keep your finger on the pulse because that tells you what the competition is doing, what the market is doing. But if you're putting the finger on your employee's pulse, then you are basically restricting them from growing.
Yeah, restricting their blood from flowing.
Exactly.
I know. So you used to work with GE, and in one of the things that you've experienced with Jack Welch is that he shares a story with the staff regularly.
Yeah. I worked with GE 20 years, 15 of it in aviation. And one thing about Jack Welch, and I've met him a couple of times personally, he's one of those leaders who believes in sharing. Now, he's been known as a very tough man, right? He has a very strong sense of how to drive the company. However, one of the strongest things he has is also sharing experiences. Mm. So he has what we call the pit. And so every quarter, he would make it a point, no matter where he was in the world, he would come back and he would run a one-day full-blown training session for all his senior executives. And that in that case, he would share critical strategies, he would share experiences. And by doing this, it's leadership by example. Mm. By doing this, he would make sure that his leaders go back and do the same thing to their teams, which is to share the information. And this way, you keep your organization growing, but you also let all of them know what's happening. Mm. So everybody understands the direction, the vision. It's very, I would say, you know, funnily enough, I've left GE now for almost 10 years, but we still talk about GE as we. The unity, the loyalty, it's still there. And you can ask anyone who's left. There is life after GE. However, we're still very much tied to it because of the experiences that we got as part of the learning.
Right. So he talks about being in the pit.
Yes.
And getting out of the pit.
Correct.
In this case.
And
right.
The pit in itself is actually the place where they go for training. It's okay. Called the pit in Crotonville.
Right. So what are some of the things he talked about in this area? You know, don't stick your head in the sand and all that?
Yes. Some of the things he talked about really was interesting. He always used to say, don't stick your head in the sand. Always have your finger on the pulse. And in this case, the pulse is the competition environment. It's basically the idea that if you understand what your environment is, you can create more opportunities and challenges in your business. And, you know, don't let emotions be the basis in which you make your decisions, because the objective criteria is important. If you base it on relationships, things are not going to work. Mm. As you know, one of the things that he was very famous for was cutting people off.
Neutron Jack, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Neutron Jack. So you know that the first thing he would do is, you know, reduce headcount and stuff like that. Mm. And he believed in delayering, so removing layers from the system. But he also realized that he had made a lot of relationships, but he didn't use that as a criteria to make the decision. Mm. If he let it go, it's because it made good business sense.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that if you look back in his history, there's one thing that he did, which was the RCA and Honeywell acquisition. It was crazy audacious move to do that. But, you know, you take risks. So the RCA one went through. And Honeywell was actually a very good opportunity. And it was a great process. But because of the European Commission and all the feedback and all the pushback, that killed the Honeywell deal.
Right. How does emotional intelligence come into play here?
Well, emotional intelligence in this case is when leaders talk about how they remain calm and they try to justify their actions, right? Mm. It sometimes, as you say, when they justify it, people think it's very personal. But the reality is, if you are highly emotional, you have high emotional intelligence, the chances are you will be very sensitive to your surrounding. You understand your employee needs. You take into account people. So it's just not about numbers and statistics. You're actually taking into account people, building rapport, creating that emotional connection, be it with your staff, your employees, your competitors. It's building relationships and strong emotional intelligence.
Okay. And also being accountable. Yeah, and that goes beyond. So how does accountability now come into play?
Well, accountability is about creating steps, right? It's a slow process of making sure that you put in a lot of contingency plans into place. As a result, you get a better reaction from people. So if you are accountable and you accept the process, you accept that there are certain things that are going to happen as part of that process, and you maintain composure throughout that process, you're going to be able to manage crisis better. If you are not accountable and you keep pushing it off to others, then the chances are people are not going to have faith in you, they're not going to have trust in you, and therefore in a crisis time, your number one trademark is composure and accountability. If you have those two things, it's very, very critical.
And you have a story about this,
yes.
Right? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Sheila Chandran from Leadonomics. We're talking about how we can turn adverse situations into an advantage. Stay tuned to Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Brilliant Financial Model, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. It's Motivational Monday. Sheila Chandran from Leadonomics. And we're discussing turning adverse situations into an advantage. We're just discussing earlier about being accountable just now and also maintaining composure. And you, in the times of crisis, there's a story here, Sheila. Tell me about that story.
Well, it's an interesting story. Like I said, leadership comes in so many different forms. You don't have to be a leader of a country or a leader of a corporation. Every one of us has leadership in us. So my story is back in the 90s, right? I was still with GE at the time, and I was pretty new. And I said, at that time, Jack Welch used to come to Malaysia quite frequently because his son worked in Malaysia. And at one time, he and Mr. McNerney came in one of the regional jets, and their wives came in a separate jet. They didn't travel together. So the aircraft landed in KLIA, but the one with the wives, for some reason, the particular pilot, he taxied off the runway, so he went onto the grass verge. Well, one of the requirements is at that time, when that happens, you need to cycle the landing gear and the wheels. And because it's a jet, it's a regional jet, MAS at that time didn't have the facility for those equipment or the equipment for that. So I was still new. I was running the office at the time. And I was told by my boss, we all have to be away. The senior reps were away. So I was alone. And he says, you need to handle this problem. And it's, how do I go about getting all the equipment for a regional jet to get the landing gear cycled, right? So Mr. Welch's engineer came over with me. And what I did was I had a lot of contacts. I used a lot of my contacts from RMAF to get all the equipment we needed for the jet, and I spoke to MES. I managed to get them to actually help us use the hangar, and we did manage to get the aircraft ready for takeoff, because at the end of the day, as far as Mr. Welch is concerned, when it's time to go, we better be ready to go. So
how much notice did you have to do all this?
Oh my gosh, hardly any, because the aircraft landed and that was it, right? So it's from the get-go. So within 2 days, I had to get this all organized and off we go. You know, as I said, I was panicking, but I realized you got to do what you got to do. And that's where your leadership role comes into play. You just go and do. You know, when your adrenaline is up and you just have to get things done, no matter what it takes, you will find the resources and you will achieve it. Interestingly enough, I always thought, okay, I did my job. What I didn't realize is Mr. Welch came back on the next trip and he actually personally recognized me. He gave me an award and you know, took photos and stuff.
But stay calm.
Yeah. So the thing is, during any emergency situation, you will initially panic. But the idea is to maintain composure, think critically and do a critical analysis of the situation, find your best resources and get the job done. And you will realize that even without realizing it, you have taken on a leadership role.
Right. Okay. And this is, there's also, I mean, being calm and all that, there's also something that, you know, Nelson Mandela has a story.
Oh, yeah. If you recall, sometime back we talked about Nelson Mandela and I love talking about him because he's got so many different things. But when you talk about calmness in the moment of crisis, if you recall, there was one time where he was flying to a destination on a small regional jet. And at that time, there was massive turbulence. He had just gotten his cup of coffee and he was reading his newspaper. And there was massive, massive turbulence. The aircraft was literally jerking. And the moment you see your air steward praying, you are going to panic, right? As a passenger, your air steward is praying. So what he realized was everybody recognized him as a leader. If he showed composure and if he stayed calm, chances are he would instill calm in them. They were watching him.
Yeah.
So he continued to sip his coffee, even though the plane was actually bumping around, with his newspaper. And everybody looked at him and figured, hey, if he's calm, he must know something. Right. So they all stayed calm. Now, obviously, they landed safely and everything. But when he was asked later, he said he was literally shaking. Mm-hmm. He was trying very hard to hold that cup of coffee steady because he knew people were watching. But the idea is leadership is about making sure you keep the other people calm and in a state of relaxation.
Because people are watching.
Yes.
Huh? Okay. So, and here, I guess this is where a leader must motivate the people in time of crisis. And sometimes the best way of doing this is by letting people watch you and also not letting them lose sight of their purpose with the overall goals of the organization, right? And there's some stories around this as well.
Yeah. If you think about Viktor Frankl, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he has a book called Men, A Need for Meaning, right? This was when he was incarcerated back in the concentration camp during
Holocaust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of horrible tests being done at that time about the reproduction, because if you remember, the opportunity was to create the Aryan race. So during these tests and during all these things that were going on, Viktor Frankl decided that he would put himself mentally in a place where if he realized that looking forward in the future, if I can share this experience I'm going through, I need to survive so that I can share this experience with other people so that they can learn from these things, then you realize that they can master the ability to overcome all difficulty. So here is what we talk about between stimulus and response. We have the space to make a decision to choose how we decide to respond. In the animal kingdom, the moment you have a stimulus, it's immediate response.
Fight or flight. Fight or fly.
Okay. Correct. But in humans, we're supposed to be the higher species. So when something happens to us, we can choose to respond negatively or we can choose to respond positively. So the idea is most people fly off the handle and choose the negative route. A good, true leader will stop and make the decision to choose the right route. And that's the key. Too many people today are very impetuous and choose the faster route.
Yeah.
And that kind of turns a lot of good opportunities into negative situations.
I know that when I fly off the handle or something like that happens, nothing good ever comes out of it. So I remember this thing about Viktor Frankl. So there is that moment for you to think, right? And that moment to think, and sometimes it's still worrying and worrying and worrying in my head. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not able to think straight. I need more time to be able to think straight. But you do realize that there is that moment where you decide, what do I do next?
Yes.
Right? You know, and you have to breathe or do whatever just to, okay, stay calm, you know, and then just like, okay, what would be a logical next step? You know?
That's why you don't immediately react to situations. You always take a step back, look at the situation, and then respond. Of course, in a critical emergency, if somebody's having a heart attack, you don't say, stop, think, you go ahead and do what you need to do. But in a crisis situation where you know if you take the wrong response, it's going to be detrimental to a whole team, then you want to make sure you're making the right decision. So,
yeah. Are there more stories around this?
Yes. If I take the more recent one, if you remember Captain Sully, who landed the aircraft on the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a leader, you also need to be able to improvise in times, right? You need to find and you need to do critical thinking, critical analysis. What's the right thing to do? But you're in a crisis situation. You have to do something right now.
Yeah.
So in that situation, can you imagine what he would have been going through thinking, I have to land this aircraft and I have to land it now?
Because you've got no time.
You've got no time. Yeah. You don't have an open view. There is a road, but you can't land on the road because you know you're going to cause massive, massive issues. So he chose to land it on the Hudson River, knowing that at the angle that he lands it, there's a high probability that he can save most of the people. In fact, he saved everyone.
Mm.
But that's the thing. At that critical moment, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. Now, as I said earlier, during a case of emergency, you stop and think. In this case, he still had to stop and think. He still had to make the right choice.
Mm.
And that's the thing. That's the most important thing. During critical situations, as a leader, what is your style? Is your style one that you jump and yell? No, I've seen leaders who, the moment an employee comes up to them and says, hey, I have a problem, they go, what? Why? And there are the other ones that are saying, okay, let's sit down and find out what the details are. Share with me. So rather than fly off the handle, you you choose to sit down and listen. So it's a proactive choice of deciding what course of action you want to take.
Right. How about stories of women who have, you know, risen to this?
Well, let me ask you this. Mm. In today's world, there's a lot of adversity women go through.
Yeah.
Now, Aung San Suu Kyi went through massive issues, right, to get to where she is, to get her point across. Then you have Minister Bhutto, who actually worked through a lot of political mumbo-jumbo, people who were against her, people who thought she had ulterior motives, and finally they took her because they believed that she was in that direction. Mm. But my key is, when I talk about women today, adversity comes in every shape and form. Mm. Women are going through... There's a high rate of divorce these days, and a lot of women are going through depression. Mm. Now, the idea here is that if you are strong-minded and strong-willed, then you don't allow that to happen. Yeah. You take proactive action. You tell yourself there are things that you can do that will rectify or will guide you towards that situation. The rate of suicide these days is going up, even with kids. Because they are reacting very adversely to their response of the exams. Why? Because of the pressure being applied. So if you think of the amount of pressure that there are, who's applying that pressure? Society? Parents? So in adverse times, we need to be understanding of people's emotional status. We need to be able to help and see through it. And we have to have that ability. A good leader can see when his employees are in going through tough times, and that's where they will try to help. Today, there's more and more corporate companies that are actually having evaluation or coaches or personal guidance for their staff, because they realize in a high-stress situation, you need that. You take traffic controllers. This is something that they have to go through every day. So they need that outlet that they can go and talk about their situations and not be able to go into a depressive state.
Okay, so when you look at all these things as well, so I guess the final thoughts around this topic, what are some things that people should keep in mind?
I think it's important to remember that our thoughts become words, our words become actions, our actions become decisions, and our decisions become habits. And if you've got the right set of habits, then that creates culture and destiny. So if I go back to my roots of GE, it was culture. It's ingrained culture that makes us all feel the loyalty. The same thing is, if you think about changing your attitude in life, you will change your behavior. If you change your behavior, you change your habit. So it starts with attitude. Looking at things in a more positive manner rather than negative, that attitude will change the way we behave. And that behavior will then become our habit. And once it becomes a habit, then you know that the chance of survival is going to be there. Right. And you can get through anything in life.
Sheila Chandran, getting through everything in life. Sheila Chandran from Leadernomics, talking about turning adverse situations into advantage. You've been listening to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.